Thank you to our worship team. That was amazing. It always is on Christmas Eve. I love this service. And it's a joy to be here with you this evening to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. My name is Brett. I'm one of the pastors here. Just so glad you were able to join us here this evening. You know, for many of us, Christmas is a time for long journeys. These days around this time of year, some of the busiest travel days of the year, as people travel across the country to be with loved ones. Some of you may have traveled here for Christmas. Glad you made it safely. Welcome here. You know, when I was a kid, I didn't travel a lot for Christmas. It was always my grandparents who traveled to be with us on Christmas morning. That was always the longest wait of my life, on Christmas morning, waiting for my grandparents to arrive so we could actually open presents after they drank their coffee and had breakfast with my parents and even read the newspaper on Sunday morning with me and my brother and sister waiting to open presents. But, you know, people travel at Christmas. We actually have a photo here. Pastor Thomas, I believe, traveling for Christmas last year. That was an improvement, though, from the year before. There it is. I don't actually know why Thomas has a turban on in that picture, but I do believe that is Thomas. And man, I just want to thank my brother for 13 years of a good sense of humor, as I think I've pretty much mentioned him every Christmas Eve. So thank you, friend. It wouldn't be Christmas Eve. Yes, thank you. We only kid the people we love. Isn't that right? But Christmas is just a time for long journeys, which also happened around the actual birth of Jesus Christ. Many people then taking long journeys. We are finishing here this evening a little Advent sermon series we've been doing here in December, looking at Advent through the eyes of Matthew, or looking at some of the events surrounding the birth of Christ in the book of Matthew in the Bible. And one thing we have seen around his birth are these long journeys. Some of you know that Joseph and Mary, when Mary was pregnant, took a long journey to Bethlehem. And then the wise men made a long journey from the east to see this newborn child, Jesus. And as we conclude now this Advent series in Matthew, we see one more long journey. Matthew 2:13 says this: "Behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, 'Rise and take the child, Jesus, and his mother, and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him.' And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, 'Out of Egypt I called my son.'" So Joseph, Jesus' earthly father, was warned in this dream by an angel. "Flee, Joseph, run, escape to Egypt, for King Herod is seeking to kill your son Jesus." Herod, the Jewish king at this time, he was incredibly jealous and very violent. And he had recently heard from the wise men that a new king of the Jews had been born, Jesus. And he was now hell-bent, determined to annihilate this new threat to his throne. And in the following verses in Matthew, Herod will actually send soldiers to Bethlehem, this search and destroy team of sorts, killing all the young boys in Bethlehem. So this angel, before that can happen, warns Joseph to flee to Egypt. You know, Egypt was only about 90 miles south of Bethlehem where they were at this time, but it was really the safest place for them. Herod would not have expected them to go out of the country, and Egypt was outside of Herod's jurisdiction. You know, you and I can travel 90 miles maybe in an hour and a half or so. It would have taken Joseph, Mary, and Jesus maybe a week to travel to Egypt, this very arduous and taxing journey. And you know, they may have started that very night, departing in haste after the angel warned Jesus, leaving under the cover the protection of night and heading for Egypt. And Joseph and Mary and Jesus now, they essentially became refugees in Egypt until Herod died. But you know, with this little text in Matthew, it's very easy to miss the main point. You know, a lot of Christmas sermons that cover this text, they focus primarily on this refugee thing. And they point out how Jesus himself was a refugee, and therefore we must also care for refugees. And you know, God definitely in the Bible says that we as Christians should care for the foreigners around us. But Matthew's main point here was not to teach us about refugees. His main point was to teach us something about Christ. Sinclair Ferguson says this: Matthew is not telling the story to shame us into doing more for today's refugees. His real point is to tell us something about Jesus. The point in this story of Egyptian exile is about Jesus' identity. And we know that because of this one little line that Matthew adds at the end of the story. He says here that they fled to Egypt until Herod died. And Matthew then adds this, Matthew 2:15, this was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son. And you may not recognize it, but that is one of those fantastic places in the Bible where one writer connects some very important dots for us in the Bible, and that's what Matthew just did. Matthew just quoted there from the book of Hosea in the Bible, a book that was written long before Jesus was ever born. In Hosea 11, verse 1, God had earlier said this: when Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. And God was talking there in Hosea about when he had earlier rescued Israel from Egypt. And you might know the story. In Genesis, near the start of the Bible, there was this famine. So Jacob took his family down to Egypt to survive that famine. And he remained in Egypt for the next 400 years, he and his family. And his family, over that time, grew into the great nation of Israel. But the Egyptians there in Israel soon turned those Israelites into slaves, a very harsh captivity now for Israel there in Egypt. The ruler in Egypt, Pharaoh, even trying to kill Jewish newborns to keep Israel from growing larger. But God promised to Israel there in captivity that he would one day rescue them. And here's the thing: God, at that time in history, several times called Israel his son. God said it to Pharaoh. Here it is in Exodus 4:22. He said this: thus says the Lord, Israel is my firstborn son. And I say to you, Pharaoh, let my son go. And God did then rescue Israel, this son, from Egypt. God sent Moses, and through Moses, God worked the 10 plagues, and he rescued Israel, and Israel then left Egypt heading for the promised land. And the Bible later calls that entire event the Exodus, or the departure from Egypt. And God then, much later in time, in Hosea 11:1, he said this about that Exodus: when Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt, I called my son. But here's the thing. Matthew just did something amazing. Matthew now tells this little story about Joseph and Mary and Jesus traveling to and from Egypt. And Matthew then says there, Matthew 2:15, this was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet Hosea: out of Egypt I called my son. So according to Matthew, that age-old text in Hosea, God calling his son out of Egypt, well, that was not ultimately fulfilled just by Israel coming out of Egypt, but it was ultimately fulfilled by Jesus coming out of Egypt. And here's the thing. Matthew was teaching us something there about Jesus, something critical about his identity. And here it is. Matthew was telling us there that Jesus, this young child, he was the much greater Son of God. And this much greater Son had come to earth to bring a much greater Exodus. When we look at those two stories in the Bible, those two trips to and from Egypt, first with Israel and then with Jesus, we see all kinds of similarities. In both stories, the family went down to Egypt. First, Jacob with his family, Israel, and then Joseph with his family, Mary and Jesus. And both stories had wicked rulers, first Pharaoh and then Herod, who both tried to kill Jewish infants. But in both of those stories, a child was rescued. First Moses and then Jesus. And both of those children ultimately came out of Egypt with their families. And that which happened in that first story with Israel, that was just a small foreshadowing of that which would happen in that second story with Jesus. And with all of that in the Bible, God was making a very simple point. God was telling us there, Jesus is the greater Son who has come to bring a greater Exodus. And here's how it works. Jesus Christ is the much greater Son of God because Jesus is the one and only eternal Son of God, who had existed from all eternity with God the Father and God the Son, but then who was born 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem, taking on human flesh, now God incarnate, God in human flesh. And Jesus there at birth, he had now willingly entered this dark and fallen sinful world. Or think about it like this. Jesus Christ at his birth had essentially now entered this Egypt of captivity, this world of sin and death, this dark world where you and I, because of sin, the Bible says, we had all become enslaved to sin and death. All of us sinners, the Bible says, and all of us now dying because of sin, all of us now heading towards an eternal separation from God because of sin. And yet Jesus willingly entered this world, this Egypt of captivity, of sin and death, which was completely controlled when he came by an evil ruler, Satan, who attempted to kill Christ as an infant, working through King Herod. And Satan did eventually kill Christ at the cross. But what Satan did not understand is that Christ there in his death, he was actually accomplishing a much greater exodus. Jesus, at one point in his life, he was talking about his death that was coming, and he said there at his death, he was going to accomplish his departure. And the Greek word for departure there could also be translated as exodus. Jesus knew that on that cross, he was going to be accomplishing his much greater exodus for all who would now trust in him. The Bible says that Jesus on the cross took the sin of the world upon himself, and Jesus suffered on that cross, suffering for that sin, the penalty that you and I deserve. And he then rose again, conquering that sin. And Jesus did all of that in order to lead sinners like you and me on a much greater exodus out of this fallen, dark Egypt of captivity to sin and death. And all that Jesus now asks of you, if you want to receive this gift from him, is repentance and faith. You simply repent, or you turn from your sin and you cry out to him for mercy, and you trust in Christ and hold on to him in faith as your Savior and as your Lord. And the Bible says that you are then instantly forgiven of all of your sin. But I do want to be clear on that point. It is only by repentance and faith in Christ that God will forgive you. The Bible is clear. God does not forgive you of your sin just because you try to live a good life or just try to do good things for people. God does not just forgive you of your sin because you just go to church services or even because you were just baptized when you were young. No, the Bible says that you must repent and believe in Christ alone, and God will forgive you. You see, God is not the same as Santa. Santa makes his list, and he checks it twice, and he finds out who's naughty and nice, and Santa gives his gifts to those who have been nice. But God gives his gifts to those who know they've been naughty, to those who are willing to acknowledge before God and man, I am a sinner. Please have mercy on me, God. I trust in Christ for forgiveness, and you are forgiven. And the Bible says you then are no longer a slave to sin and death and Satan, but you are free now in Christ. And at some point in the future, the Bible says Jesus will return to earth. And he will finally then rescue forever all of his followers from this Egypt of sin and death. He will then bring us, the Bible says, into a new world. This infinitely better promised land where we will then live forever with Christ and his people. And you who follow Christ, you on that day, you will then say what Jewel the Unicorn said in C.S. Lewis's Chronicles of Narnia, saying, I have come home at last. This is my real country. I belong here. This is the land I've been looking for all of my life. And you realize that on that day, God will then say, in the ultimate sense, out of Egypt I have called my son, and out of Egypt I have called all who trust in my son. And that is what Christmas is all about. Christmas is all about a journey Jesus, in great love, took a long journey for you to and from this Egypt of sin and death. And you now, through simple faith in Christ, you are also now on a journey toward your one true home. So may God this Christmas give you a deep faith in Jesus Christ, and may you find great joy this Christmas in this infinitely greater Son as you now journey with him on this infinitely greater Exodus. We bless you, Lord Jesus Christ. You came to deliver. You were born to set us free from the power of Satan, of sin, and of death, taking all of that upon yourself so that we in you might be free. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, on this Christmas Eve for your birth, your life, your death, your resurrection, for all you have done for us. And we say, you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we look forward to the day we will see you face to face. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.